who knows this? That you need to put a little bit depth in the volume, but I know this is it's called volume, or but not loudness. It's a certain range of sound. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I'm sounding as if I'm Yamaraj who addresses you with a threatening message from Samyamanipura, the town of the death. There can be a more pleasant sound, more soft, a mixture of echo and the culture of the civilization of sound, aware people. Sorry. Krishna, Krishna, I will continue speaking. So we had afterwards a nice Guru Puja, the greetings of the deities, and then a lecture which we during the retreat tried to point out by giving a certain, we can call it discovery. In my own little way, I tried to make the point that there are two capsules of medicine. One bears medicine and the other is empty and therefore has no effect. So bhakti or any activity, especially the chanting of the holy name, can be an empty shell only if it lacks the seva spirit, the idea that I'm doing this for service and I'm asking, in fact, for more service as I'm chanting the holy name. Then during the morning session, the workshop in the Yajnashal, we try to do a few exercises which tuned us into the idea of being a soul and an eternal servant of Krishna, and we tuned ourselves into the concept that really to praise Krishna is the purpose of being here in this world. It's not a luxury activity, not something on the side, but you are only here in this world in order to develop your service spirit to Krishna, which can be very easily done when you chant properly. Then we had a very nice optional japa session where we chanted together. It was really nice, and now we want to close the evening. Today I would like to share with you what Prabhupada said when he was asked, what do you feel when chanting? By the way, Jai Krishna and your sound man, do you see this is now a human sound which comes through the loudspeakers, no longer a threatening monster sound. What do you feel, was Prabhupada asked, when you chant? It was one of these questions where Prabhupada answered really on an instant. When someone when he meets someone and that person asks him almost on gunpoint, bang, a question, then what comes out spontaneously at that time is usually what is real. So when Prabhupada was asked, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? He said, I feel no fear. Let us think for a moment about this answer. I feel no fear when I chant. The characteristic of this material world is Kuntaloka, the place of fear. In contrast, the spiritual world is called Vaikuntha Loka, the world without fear. You have to contact fear in this world. Fear of old age, fear of failure, fear of misunderstanding, fear of being from one moment from to the next incapacitated. Like I have one very dear and advanced godbrother who with whom I shared today about this. He was from one moment to another reduced and could not do the many services in the same way which he used to do. That's a very polite description of how he really became incapacitated. This world is a place where these things happen. Don't become surprised when the reality of the world catches up with you and gives you your share. So Prabhupada used to say, when I chant, I feel no fear. This danger of material existence has receded far in the background, and I feel sheltered at the lotus feet of the Lord. This idea is a very important idea for those who chant the holy name. We are chanting the holy name to glorify Krishna, and as we do this, Krishna's response is there, and we can actually say material existence has lost its danger. Yes, we are still with the material body. Yes, there's bound to be old age and disease and death, but it doesn't strike fear any longer. It doesn't make us any longer disoriented and problematic. When and only when we are safe on the spiritual platform. That is the promise of Krishna consciousness and the experience of many of our devotees who, even in difficult situations like heartbreaking diseases, being at the threshold of leaving this life and going into another, took shelter in Krishna and his holy name and became fearless, not afraid. The example given in our scriptures is the example of a snake. Yes, material existence is a little bit, you say fishy in England, but it's snaky really. But when you chant, the poisonous fangs of the snake are removed. Yes, apparently the devotee goes through the same snaky experience, but there is not this danger, not this fear. He doesn't lose his mind in situations where others give up. A good example of this pastime of Krishna, where Lord Krishna extinguished a raging forest fire for his friends. You know, this material world is compared with a forest, and at any moment, big problems can come. I'm reminded of Croatia. I was once sleeping in a forest in Croatia. I had parked our car there. We had made a little pause. And all of a sudden, whoop, my assistant woke me up and said, "See what's happening outside." And do you know what happened? The peaceful place where we had parked our car had turned into a fiery inferno, if that is an English word. It was burning. A forest fire had broken out. No one goes into such a forest to deliberately set it on fire, but by its nature, it's hot in there in the summer. Bang! The fire springs up. You know, there can be many reasons. Frictions of trees, something simple as a stone falling on another stone, and some small thing like a spark is created. I'm not an expert in forest fire. What I know is they happen, and you can't avoid them. You can just try to extinguish them. Good luck, it doesn't always work. So in the same way, in material life, bang, problems rise, misunderstanding rise. In communities, people begin to quarrel for things which are less pleasing. All of a sudden, boom, the forest fire of material life is starting. So this was the situation. Krishna's friend once played under the shade of the huge banyan tree, which is situated in that part of Vrindavan, which Noahs of Vrindavan call the Bandiravan. It was a huge, huge banyan tree, and the roots were used by the Lord and his friends to swing from side to side. This tree was so huge that Krishna's friends would sometimes dance on the branches, and while dancing crossed the Yamuna River. It was a playground. So they were absorbed in a lot of plays, when all of a sudden one friend of Krishna came to him and said, "Our cows have wandered off. They have grazed and followed the green grass, and now we can't see them any longer. We've lost them." Krishna answered, "Let us look for the hoof prints and find our cows." So they followed the tracks more and more, and they saw in the distance, just at the banks of the Yamuna, a forest of reeds. Do you know what are reeds? They are very high and dry, almost like grass, but massive grass. They have this big, and they can be easily incinerated and burn like anything. So they saw the cows grazing in this forest of reeds, and the cow herd boys ran quickly where the beloved cows were. Krishna climbed on a high bank on the river Yamuna, and he started to wave his yellow cloth. He is quite Krishna. Called his cows, and the cows immediately responded. Now, this scene was watched by some assistants of Kamsa. You must know, Kamsa had his spies all over Vrindavan. And these spies had seen how earlier in the day Lord Balaram had delivered the demon Pralambasura, who had planned to take Krishna and Balaram on both of his shoulders and run with them and bring them to Kamsa to be sacrificed before Kamsa, very demoniac. So Balaram had spoiled the plan of Pralambasura, and he had hit him one time severely on his head. That was enough to deliver him from birth and death. And the spies had seen this. So when they saw that Krishna's friends and the cows were in this forest of reeds, they went and surrounded the forest, and they were all adept in black magic. So they chanted these heavy mantras. I know one of these mantras, but I will not chant it because you would all, at least the children, I think, would fall down dead, because my power is not very big. Children, not. I don't know it so good also, and I don't want to know it. So anyways, they chanted these evil mantras, and by the power of this mantra, the reeds started to burn, and a hot fire with sizzling sound came. And when Krishna saw this, he became very alarmed. At that time, the cowherd boyfriends, who saw themselves surrounded by a wall of fire, remembered Krishna, and they thought, they were in two minds. Should we call Krishna? He's still outside of the fire. He will burn maybe, but at the same time, he's our only shelter. So they began to call out a very nice mantra. Please repeat. Krishna, Krishna, Mahavirya.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahavirya.
Yeah, you are not in trouble, so therefore you call in a sleepy way, but this was urgent. Krishna, Krishna, Mahavirya.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahavirya.
Hey, Rama Moga.
Hey, Rama Moga.
Vikrama.
Vikrama.
Davagnina. Dayamanam, Prapanangs, Tratam, Ahata. O Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. So Krishna thought at that time, wow, my friends are totally dependent on me. They have taken shelter of me. I must do something to save them. But if I swallow the forest fire, they will die being so anxious for me. When the forest fire touches my lips and goes into my throat, my friends will die. Therefore Krishna said to his friends, my dear friends, please close your eyes now. I will do something. You know, when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when someone performs a little magic, he doesn't want that people look too closely on what he does. So he said, just briefly close your eyes and then boom, I will perform my magic. So the friends of Krishna thought he will do some little magic, and he's uncomfortable if we look too close to find out what he exactly does. So they closed the eyes. And at that time, Jiva Goswami says, Krishna manifested a form like a huge rain cloud. He's after all Ganasyam, like a huge rain cloud. And he swallowed the forest fire. And some say the forest fire, which was so hot, coming in contact with Krishna's lips, turned into nectar drops for Krishna. So my dear devotees, this pastime shows us that those who take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet by chanting his holy names in the mood of doing service for Krishna are saved from the forest of material existence. This is the experience of all devotees. Devotees who have been ill, who took shelter in Krishna's holy name and were saved. Devotees who were misunderstood and took shelter in Krishna's holy names. Where do you take shelter at the time of problem? This will show where you stand in your devotion. When you take shelter only in the material energy, doctors, I don't know what one can take shelter in the world, you know, your own manipulations. That's not so good. Take shelter in Krishna. Call out to him, Krishna, Krishna, Mahavirya, oh Supreme Hero, please, I am in danger. You please save me. And at that time, Krishna will save us. He will come. When the human being sees that his own powers are insufficient to solve his human dilemmas, it's time to turn to the Almighty. And best is you turn before the Kuntaloka, the material world shows its ugly face and attacks you. And this is, I think, another reason why to take shelter in chanting. We will now again turn towards Vrindavan. We will look what will happen there. Maybe we will learn something more about taking shelter this evening. Can you all see sufficiently? Maybe you want to come in the viewing position, that is, more facing it. Otherwise, also you see what is happening behind the stage, and then it's not so good.